I just think I would take it.
So, you know, I saw your post on it, your tweets on it, and now I understand better. The other guy I'd much prefer is Bradley Beal, who I think is a better
player. Well, as does everyone.
Okay, well, good. I didn't know everyone felt that way. I think well, there's some John Wall lovers out there. What's that?
Yeah, like Beal's like on like the max deal for like the younger players.
Yes.
Beal's like $25 million a year or something. So
yeah,
just that is, and I think he signed it before the big cap, you know, explosion. So just that in itself is a huge difference between these guys.
Let me throw this out there: would you trade LaVine in an asset for Beal?
Yeah, probably.
So would I. I would. I think Beal's a better shooting guard.
He's more of a two-way player. You would trust that you could build around Beal a little bit more.
Injury issues, but, you know, LaVine hasn't been perfect there either. That's a tough one. Maybe we should throw that one out there. Would you trade LaVine in an asset for Beal?
I think almost everyone says yes to that, to be honest.
Well, it depends what that second asset is. I think we all agree.
It does depend on the second asset. Yeah. Fair point.
How about Hutch?
Say it's LaVine and, like, Portis.
Oh, I'd do that in a second. I don't even want Portis on the team next year. This was part of a discussion I had with
the friend. How about LaVine and Dunn?
No. I think Dunn, I'm a lot higher in Dunn than most people are. I think he's so good defensively. I think he's an integral part of this team. And it sucks with Dunn. He played one game this year, you know? It's like, I think the issue with Dunn is that exactly that. Is he durable enough? He had issues in college, but I really like what I saw from him in the time he played last year. But I know I'm probably on Dunn Island.
Need to see him shoot. Need to see him take care of the ball. Those two things.
Yep. And his shooting.
I mean, he doesn't need to be a great shooter, but like say a 35% three-point shooter, and needs to cut the turnovers down.
I don't think
if he could do those two things, I think he would be a very good player. Doesn't really need to do anything. Doesn't need to be spectacular from three. Just needs to not kill you and cannot be sloppy with the ball. That's my biggest thing. Is he's so sloppy with the ball? He just needs to improve that. So if those improve, then I'm with you.
I wonder, I'm going to tweet that one out. I like that. Would you trade Portis? We'll first have to figure out if that goes through the trade machine, but Portis and LaVine for Beal and whatever.
Well, you can always throw in Holiday to match salaries and then you're there.
Oh, I'm in just for getting Holiday off the roster, not having to watch him. I do want to ask you, so I did argue with a friend about this, you know, the future of Bobby Portis. Let's assume he comes back and plays solid like he did last year. Do you feel comfortable? I don't think we talked about this. Do you feel comfortable about giving him another contract? What's the number that you would say, all right, let's bring him back at?
I'd say you're sitting around $10 million a year.
Yep, agreed. And I think that's on the high end, like 8 to 10. You know, I'd like it more like 7.
Well, it depends a lot on how solid he plays. He comes back, you know, like when we say solid, I mean, it can be all over the board. There's a lot of money out there next year, though, so... It would not be surprising if he plays solid that he gets a very rich contract. We've seen over and over again in the NBA that when there's a lot of money available, teams use it on the players who are available.
So what do you think of the argument then, which was basically, well, you have Laurie and Wendell Carter as, you know, here for the next decade as the likely starters at the 4 and 5. True. Yes, that's true. And the counter is, therefore, you can spend money on Bobby Portis as your backup. What say you to that?
Well, I think you don't want to like load up all your salary into, you know, being your front court, especially in today's NBA.
Yeah.
But I don't think that means you want to spend a lot of money on your backup. I mean, it's fine. There's enough minutes for three guys, right? You know, Lowry and Carter are probably going to be playing no more than 36 minutes tonight, which means there's another 36 minutes left. 24 minutes left. Is that right?
Yeah.
24 minutes. 32 if everyone had the even set of the rotation. That's what it is. But they're probably not going to play more than 36. There's 24 minutes left. That's probably an appropriate amount for Portis if he were to stick around at a $10 million contract. I think it's okay, but I think for the reason you just stated, having those two guys is why you don't want to overpay on that position. If you're going to overpay, I think you got to overpay to fill a greater need than backup big men.
Yep. All right, so as we're pulling the big red bus in, it's completely dilapidated.
We're going to end the show. We're not even going to talk about the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, you want to? Let's absolutely talk about that first, because I got one more question after that. So let's talk about them. I'll pull it back out here. We're just driving around the block.
we got it. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, like, are you not like eating popcorn, like watching ESPN to see what like the latest like crap that's coming out about this?
Well, whose side are you on
week,
this
like,
whole
just waiting to see like what new tidbit is gonna come out? Like sources are saying Draymond said this, and Durant said this, and other guys in the players don't get. I think it's great. I love it. I love the drama. And you got to figure there's a pretty good chance that the Warriors are going to break up at the end of the season.
That's the good news, because I still think they're going to win the title. I mean, they still win the title, don't they? How is it possible?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course they're going to win the title. There's no doubt about that.
Well, if they do lose, I do think, though, for the first time in the last – well, they did lose before – but since they got Durant, I think for the first – well, I guess for the first time since they got Durant, I think the chances of them losing to an Eastern Conference team are greater than a Western Conference team. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think they, whoever comes out of the East will probably be stronger than anyone they face in the West with, you know, the Rockets being quite, you know, dilapidated, and the Lakers, you know, being a couple more pieces away than what they have. I don't really see who else is going to come out of the West and be this, you know, scary challenger. I mean, Denver right now is maybe the second best team in the West. And
to joke.
I don't see Denver being better than the top teams in the East.
No, agree 100%. I am excited that Durant is potentially leaving, because I still maintain that Chicago, if we can get our act together and look halfway decent, presentable for the last 3 months, which I think we should, will look like a destination for him to go to. Do you disagree? Do you see, like, more...
I don't think Chicago will be a front runner, and if there's like maybe three guys who are out there as like marquee free agents, if you're not a front runner, it's probably going to be too big of a challenge. It does depend on where the Bulls ended up. Yeah, we discussed this on the summer when we both thought the Bulls had a chance of finishing around 500. That if they could finish around 500, generate enough cap room for two max free agents, which was feasible with a few moves, that you could maybe bring two guys in, and they would think, yeah, we're starting with a 500 base. We're adding Kevin Durant. And maybe Klay Thompson both come, or Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard, or Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving was the example I used. But if you added like two max guys, whoever they are, like two of these legitimate like top, you know, 10 players who are out there that are going to be available in free agency, and there's a bunch of them this year, and unlikely we'll get any. But if you got two of them and had everything lined up, I think you could be a destination. But with the Bulls not performing well, I don't think two guys are going to say, yeah, let's join this team that just won 20 games, and we'll be a legit contender. I think the Bulls need to show that they're closer, and we'll have to see if that can happen. I think that's going to be difficult.
It's amazing when you look, though. The Bulls are 12th right now in the East. Ahead of them are the Wizards, who are 5-11. The Heat, who are 6-10. The Nets, who are 7-10. The Hornets have the 8th seed at 8-8. The Magic have the 6th seed at 9-8. Does anyone believe the Magic are going to finish, you know, at that continual rate? Possibly, I guess the East is so bad. But my bigger point is, every team between the Bulls and the Hornets, who have a one-game winning streak, are on a losing streak. The Nets, Heat, Wizards, Bulls. I mean, this East is so bad that I do think just the return of a couple guys will put us on a much better trajectory and potential.
Yeah, I hope so. I maybe hope not. I mean, I'm starting to get back. You're going to have to pull me back out of the tanking conversation.
I know. When you look at those
I'm
Duke
thinking,
guys,
like, Zion Williamson looks really amazing. And, you know, R.J. Barrett was great in a Bulls uniform. So, you know, there's definitely...
I know.
You know, I think the future is kind of bright either way. If you end up really bad and you can get one of these top three or four draft picks who are... It's a very top-heavy draft. You know, one of these top guys, I think you're in good shape. And if you can... be good enough to be a marquee free agent destination, you're in good shape. And if you can do both, you know, there's definitely some thought that if you added, say, Zion Williamson to this core and had enough room for two max free agents, that someone might say, wow, Lowry, Carter, and Williamson is an amazing young core. I can, you know, there's a lot here to go with. But probably not. I think guys usually look for teams that are going to win right away and would be skeptical that the Bulls would pull it off.
So last question, as we pull this baby in, the big red bus, as we went around the block again. I tweeted yesterday about Parker, and I know your feelings on it. Let's not go down that road again.
Sure.
But I'm even for letting him go after this year, just because I can't take any more of these arguments. Would
the
you,
best reason to let someone go. People on Twitter bother you.
Out of these options, there was an absolutely ludicrous one from whatever his name is, said we should release him immediately and cut him, which I think is just totally ridiculous. Yeah, let's release a guy who's averaging 15 points a game, you know, our second leading scorer, and that sends a great message to the league. But that's one, if you want to choose it. are two, trade him as early as possible for whatever you can get on December 15th. Three, wait to the trade deadline with the hope that another team gets an injury. Or D, hold on to him to the end of the year and keep the expiring and let that go. What say you?
I don't think it matters. One, trading him is going to be, for the most you can get is nothing. No one is going to trade for Jabari Parker.
Not true.
So you can ignore that. That's just not going to happen.
I
I
got.
just don't think you're
Okay.
get anything for him. I mean, you might as well hang on to him because maybe for some reason you need like salary filler for something, and his salary can be part of a salary filler situation for you.
Okay, I
But
was going back and forth
that's
with a
about it.
scout.
Like I don't think otherwise hang on to him the end of the year. What difference does it make?
I was going back and forth
Maybe
with
he
a
turns it
scout.
around. Maybe in January he's playing great and he had more time to get back from this ACL. Maybe when he has more talent around him, he does better. I mean, like, I don't think so, but what good is waiving him going to do? Do we have any, like, one we're just dying to develop, except his minutes are stopping that? No, we don't.
No, I
It's,
agree. It was stupid. But here's six destinations. I was going back and forth with a scout who did not want to be named. But
Okay.
here they are. You ready for them? Sixers. They got a hole at the four with the departure of Saric. Would start three good defenders around Parker. One. Two, Charlotte. Could use a young four and more playmaking. MJ always likes the brand name guys from big schools. Three, Brooklyn. Don't really have a promising young four. Four, Miami. Main young pieces are Richardson, Adebayo, Winslow. Could you add Parkser as the four to that mix? Even though I would argue Winslow's kind of a four, but anyhow. Utah could work well next to defensive-minded Gobert, and he's Mormon, and Parker is. Six, Dallas could add to young core of Dennis Smith and Doncic. I think those are all legitimate spots if go ahead.
Ignoring that maybe some of these teams wouldn't mind having Parker on their roster, what are these teams going to give you for him
Well, just second round pick.
on a deal where he has a player option or a team option rather for over $20 million next year? It's clearly not worth $20 million. You're not going to pick up that option. So you're going to trade what exactly to get a rental of Parker? You got to come up with $20 million of salary that you ship out. And the
Well,
Bulls
yeah.
aren't going to take any long-term salary back. Like, why would they do that? So just the complexities of the deal. Like, I'm sure there's teams that would take Parker, but the complexities of trying to get the salaries to match and have it fit for a guy who's going to basically be an expiring at the end of the year because no one wants to pick up that option is what makes it so that you're not going to be able to trade him. Not because he's the worst guy in the league, what RPM says,
Yeah,
but
right.
just because you're not going to be able to fit the salary matching in such a way that the Bulls take back no long-term salary, then no one's going to give up anything for him. Like if he made $3 million a year, you didn't have to match salaries or anything. I bet you could get like a second round pick or something for him.
There you
But because
go.
of the salary and whatever else, I just don't think you're going to be able to figure out how all those other pieces match. It's going to be too complicated.
We shall see. We shall see.
We shall.
I think there's a good chance he gets traded if he keeps on scoring 21 points a game, or if he's averaging about 15 right now. There's value in scores, and teams put value in that. And I think in Chicago we lose sight of that, but that's absolutely true in other cities. So as we pull the Big Red Bus in, what a great show. A lot of topics, a very good insight there, DT. I loved your evisceration of the real plus minus. That was awesome. In fact, I might make a special cut of that and send that out to everyone. Share with your families over Thanksgiving. Fantastic stuff. So as always, it's always great to talk to you, brother. Happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, and everybody. That's awesome, man. Great to talk to you, brother.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and all of you Bulls fans out there. Hopefully, we just see something more fun.
Of
I
course,
don't
and
know if
all
I
the
want wins or
listeners.
losses, but I want something more fun. Get me Lowry back. Let me enjoy watching a game again.
Amen. And if anyone has positive feelings for us, please go on iTunes and give us a positive ranking or rating. And then if you don't like us, then just go pound sand. Please don't do anything then. Yeah,
If you
just
don't like us, this is Bulls HQ with Mark. Just
Exactly.
kidding, just kidding. No.
Exactly.
I love you, Mark. I thought Mark's gonna hate me. I don't know why I did that. I feel so terrible. I feel dirty now.
Oh, that was great. Keep them up. I love those shots. It's always good. All right, man. Take it easy, DT. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.